Hello, everyone. We'll pick up with what Mr. Armstrong just said about the Lord is my shepherd. We know that's Jesus Christ, capital S, shepherd. Almost 25 years ago now, there was an optometrist that was in God's church on the east coast of Florida. You might could say that he had a keen eye on everyone. He was a very sincere man in the church back then. And during that time period, he knew and helped Mr. Waterhouse, an evangelist. He told us, after being with him, Mr. Waterhouse, for a while, that there was Mr. Waterhouse, the man, and then there was Mr. Waterhouse, the evangelist. And we as Christians today are no different. In our lives, we all struggle with our human nature, and it turns out that we are also you or me, the man or the woman, and you or me, the Christian. Well, back in the early Ephesus era, the Bible reveals that there was also Peter, the man, and then Peter, the apostle. We are going to emphasize or focus on three critical parts of Peter's life. What he did when Christ called him, and before Passover, and then during the time between Passover and his denial of Christ up to Pentecost. And then what happened after he received God's Spirit at Pentecost, including some of the early accounts of his life. We will also go into the two fishing incidents in Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, that happened to Peter that became part of changing his life. So let us examine in more detail what happened in Peter's life during that time. Knowing that this has a direct bearing on all of our lives, we can see just how important it is to have and be led by God's Holy Spirit, the power to comprehend and understand God's Word. It is what makes the difference both in Peter's life and in ours also. And this is when you come to see yourself as God sees you during the whole process of repentance and conversion. First, let us examine what Peter did when Christ called him and what he did before and right after Passover. For this first fishing incident, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. It's right where we left off, right where Mr. Armstrong left off. Christ was challenged and tempted by Satan. And now we're going to verse 12 of Matthew chapter 4. We'll pick up there. And when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. And now let's go to verse 17. We'll come down to verse 17. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, and mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now let's go over to Mark. We'll pick up this same time frame, Mark chapter 1. We'll start in verse 14. It says, now after John was put in prison, It's a parallel account. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change, and believe the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And now let's turn to Luke chapter 4. We'll pick this up in chapter 4 and we'll go to verse 44. We'll start there and then we'll continue in verse 5. It says, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now that's the Sea of Galilee, same thing. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Peter answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They started following Christ then. Now Peter, although a very good fisherman, had not been doing so well that night when Christ told him to let down their nets. He reluctantly did so. Now, right after this, they netted a huge number of fish, more than he had ever caught before. Then you could have imagined Peter's frustrated attitude when he told Jesus, because of his conscience thought and comment in the verse 8, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He could have had some hidden sins in his life at that time. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. We'll move a little further. And we'll pick up in verse 26. This is another kind of incident, not a fishing incident, but it's something interesting and noted. It says, and when the disciples saw him, this is Christ, walking on the sea, they were out in the boat. It was getting really rough, and Christ came out there, and Christ was walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a ghost or spirit, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Christ said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. So with Christ's leadership, we see that Peter, although authoritarian and very courageous and bold in character, lacked God's faith at times by doubting what Christ can do. And later, we'll see some more of this characteristic in Peter and also how it affected the rest of the disciples. And we'll say again, Peter being a very bold person and speaking out and not afraid to stand up for what he believed was correct. Here's an example. Let's turn to, well, it's just right over Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, of course, Simon Peter, speaks up, answered, and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which is capital R, rock meaning Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you notice, Peter's real name was Simon Barjona. But here we see Christ as head of the church at Rock, was changing Peter's real name to his surname, Peter, a stone, which designated his future occupation in God's church to become fishers of men and become the lead apostle of the group. Now, Peter also had to humble himself and pray to God when he recognized his sins. These qualities of character stood out among the 12 disciples. But as we do, Peter also had some other flaws or bad qualities in his character too, which Christ, with his perfect way, was able to channel Peter in the direction that God could use him for during his life from the very beginning of the Ephesus era of God's church. Now we'll move on. During the Passover meal and right after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 3. Okay. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing to you, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That's how old Peter was, but he got the answer from Christ. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You can see how he looked at things. Now I'll go to verse 33. And it says, it's Christ talking, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's the way we all need to be. He's teaching Peter especially, and all the disciples here. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me. You cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? You see the boldness of Peter. He said, I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So again, we see the boldness of Peter. And later that Passover night, after Christ was arrested and all the disciples fled, Peter did deny Christ three times. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 53. It says, and they led, this is at this time there when they were in Garden of Gethsemane, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. This is back in Jerusalem. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And now let's go to verse 66, as they were going through this trial. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he, Peter, denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Now this is something. Then he, Peter, began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. And Jesus, in another scripture, actually turned around and caught the eye of Peter at that same time. So he went out and wept, and another place says he wept bitterly. He did not want to suffer the persecution that Christ was going through at that time. He actually broke two of the Ten Commandments, the third taking God's name in vain by cursing and swearing, and the ninth, by bearing false witness. Peter thought about what Christ had told him earlier, and he wept. Now, Peter recognized his sinful nature once again. And also, did Peter really forsake all by leaving behind his old profession? We shall find out this answer to the later. Christ knew each of the apostles' strengths and weaknesses as they were there for those 3.5 years with them. He knew which one would be the best to lead the 12. Peter, even though outwardly had showed character flaws, some of which we have covered, inwardly, though, Christ saw traits of good leadership. And another example is found in Luke chapter 22. So let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Verse 24 of Luke 22. We'll read to verse 32. See, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them, of the disciples, should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, Christ, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them and called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. It's an interesting statement. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Peter always expressed that willingness to get out and do something to help and serve Christ. Do we have that kind of attitude in our lives to serve our God? We also have an example in our lifetime, when God chose Mr. Armstrong to lead the Philadelphia era of God's church, as an apostle even, we would probably have come far short of being able to do this, but Mr. Armstrong had the qualifications that Christ could use during his time. Christ was preparing Peter all along. Why did he take Peter, James, and John with him to pray? And let's go to Mark 14. We'll go back to the Garden of Gethsemane here and we'll see. Mark 14, verse 32 and verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. Okay, then they came to the place which is named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. This is Christ. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, now let's look at the time after Passover and up to Pentecost before he was converted. Talking about Peter. And in Acts chapter 1, we won't turn there, in the first few verses, Christ, after his crucifixion and resurrection, showed himself many times to the disciples during 40 days after his resurrection. Now, about 3.5 years after Christ first called Peter, Peter was facing a similar situation as in Luke 5, and possibly at the same place along the shore of Galilee. Let's see what was happening. And let's turn to John chapter 21. This is at 2 Corinthians for sure. John chapter 21, and we'll read the first 17 verses from 1 to 17. So, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Does that sound familiar? But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, that's about 100 yards from the beach, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Christ has already prepared a meal for them, a breakfast meal. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And those were large fish. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself during those 40 days to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The agape love that Christ was talking about. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, Do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord. This is Peter saying, Yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And this was Philia love. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Now, we're going to go through this analysis. And Peter, with much boldness and courage, would later become the lead of the 12 apostles. And the other apostles appeared to follow him, as we saw. If you noticed, even Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, and even two others, seven of the 12 disciples, decided to follow Peter when he said, I am going fishing. He had that leadership quality to stir people up. All of us, men and women today, all of us men and women today, through our various training in God's church, will be used to Christ's advantage when we will rule with him in the world tomorrow. That's what it's leading to. And Christ had already told the 12 how important it was not to leave Jerusalem until Pentecost had come. Peter is the one who said in John, in chapter 21, verse 3, I'm going fishing. So they were returning to a commercial fishing, to that commercial fishing, which had been their previous occupation. Four of them were, and the others were following them. Peter had already denied Christ three times just after the Passover. And now, weeks later, on the Galilean seashore, Christ was trying to get his attention for the third time, as it said in verse 14, John 21. So continuing with the story flow, they weren't catching any fish that night. We wonder why. Very similar to the earlier incident. But all Christ had to do in the morning is tell them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and the nets they were using were not the small, 6-foot cast nets. I've used those many times off the shore that you can throw off the shore to net smaller fish. These nets, probably drag nets, were much larger commercial type fishing nets used from boats for catching many fish. And just before the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Peter and the others were being tested. Wouldn't you know, they were back again at their old profession, catching fish, instead of preparing for the profession that Christ was training them for. They were actually falling into idolatry in a way and still did not recognize it yet. But Christ was to change that. Now remember in Luke chapter 5, Christ had earlier told them the same thing, to let down their nets. And even after they had not caught any fish all night long, but at Christ's command, Peter reluctantly cast his net exactly the way Christ told them to do. And now we see in John chapter 21, in this similar situation with those fishing, not catching any that night, and now in the morning, Christ again told them to cast their net on the right side of their boat, and they caught the biggest catch of their entire career. The biggest catch of their entire career. And they had also realized that this was another tremendous miracle from God, Jesus Christ. Now continuing the story flow, some more of the scriptures. After dragging the fish to shore, without even breaking the net. That was a lot of fish. And nets usually do break after that. That's why they spend a lot of time mending their nets after fishing. And after eating breakfast with their Creator, what did Christ mean in verse 15 when he said to Peter, Do you love me more than these? We need to visualize this. Christ and Peter, along with a few other disciples, had just eaten breakfast. And at this time, 153 large fish lay beside them, probably some of the fish even still flopping back and forth on the sandy beach. Now, as commercial fishermen, these fish were very large compared to the ones they normally caught and could have been worth a lot of money at the local fish market. Christ was encouraged. He encouraged Peter many times to put his priority, his heart, in doing God's work. That's what Christ was trying to do with Peter and the other disciples. Teaching God's people instead of his old occupation, the commercial fishing business. In other words, a spiritual job or career changed to that of an apostle of God, teaching and shepherding God's people. So let's go back to John 21 here. We're right here. We'll read those last verses again because they're very important in what he was trying to get to Peter. Get his attention there and just we'll say, so after they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Christ said to him, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Christ said to him, tend my sheep. Then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to you, said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then, feed my sheep. Christ was leaving them with a big job to do as apostles of God. But just like Peter found out, we need to be careful and diligent to follow Christ. It doesn't take long during or after the days of unleavened bread to have the normal human tendency to go back to the old leaven of breaking God's law, getting into our old bad habits and the sin that we were supposed to have gotten rid of in our life. These temptations will surely come our way. They can sneak up on us, and pretty soon you are back to your old habits and ways, forgetting the lessons we learned of how to overcome sin, and carrying through with the changes that we made in our lives and we're supposed to make, what we were doing, what we do physically and spiritually, and what we think in our minds and eventually speak. So we just saw where our priorities should be. Those who have their hearts in God's work are growing spiritually. Mr. Armstrong said that a lot. For Peter, it was his occupation, but for us, it could be anything. Our businesses, our hobbies, or what we spend so much time with, or even loving our family, children, wife or husband, more than God. If we love God more than these, then we will have a sincere, true love for God and outgoing concern for others. Now, in 31 A.D., what happened during and after the Feast of Pentecost? And let's turn to Acts now. We're just right there. Verse 1. Of course, that's the former account I made with Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the disciples whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs being seen by them during the 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, because Christ was going to be the king of that kingdom in the future. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Now, when it came to the Feast of Pentecost, on this feast day, 120 who were assembled in Jerusalem were filled with God's Holy Spirit. And Peter, also filled with God's Spirit, stood up, leading as a shepherd, and began to work with the other curious Jews that God was calling to repentance and baptism. And let's go to chapter 2. I believe that's where we could have been. We should have been there. Let's go ahead and read the first four verses of that, because this is the feast day. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's what it was. Day of Pentecost had come, 120 were assembled, and they were filled with God's Spirit. Peter was filled with God's Spirit. And there were Jews, the curious Jews, that God was calling to repentance and baptism, and that came to them. And these devout Jews from every nation had knowledge of all the Old Testament scriptures. They had good knowledge of that. And let's notice this in Acts, and we're in verse 2 and verse 14 now. We'll pick it up there, verse 14. It says, "But Peter," now here's Peter again, "standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" And then going to verse 22, we continue here. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And now let's pick up in verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' For the promise," this is important, "the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." It includes us. "And with many other words, he," Peter, "testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who were gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." So this was a different Peter from the man just 50 days earlier that denied Christ. Quite a bit different Peter. And here's what happened at another time at the temple in Jerusalem after the lame man was healed. And Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, were brought before the rulers and high priest and boldly spoke to them. Let's go to chapter 4 of Acts. Chapter 4, and we'll pick it up in verse 7. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit," said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. For this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now let's go down to verse 18, pick it up there. So they called them. This is after they had talked about it a while. They called them back, called them, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Now then, with the leadership of Peter and John, all God's people prayed to God with boldness. And that's further in chapter 4, pick it up in verse 29. Now let's see what this says here. That now, and they're praying, "Now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Here's yet another example when Peter and the other apostles were confronted by the high priest in Jerusalem. We'll go to another one. But we see the boldness that the people, that's leadership, Peter and John also, but Peter especially. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5 here, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. It says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation because of the teachings of the apostles, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought." Now in verse 25, "So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine in it, and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But here's important. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" We ought to obey God rather than men. And that's the same for us. We need to say that to obey God rather than men. when we are challenged concerning God's word. We just focused on Peter's life, seeing how he changed during these critical time periods from being a disciple to becoming one of God's apostles. And we saw what he did and how he influenced others to follow Christ. And let's turn to 1 Peter now. We'll come out of the four books to, we'll be in 1 and 2 Peter here, but this is 1 Peter 5. First three verses. This is Peter talking here. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So they were to be examples. And Peter had changed with God's help to really shepherd God's people and encouraged others under him to do the same. This is the proof right here later in Peter's life. Now, Peter was cautioned by Christ the need to always be vigilant in overcoming sin, and this is why. This is, if you look further on to verse 6 to 9, it says, therefore, this is still Peter admonishing all of us, and back then too, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now the key to it all is be vigilant. Be on your guard. Be ever watchful. Be prepared. That's where we fall down. It takes constant, continuous, vigilant effort, never letting down. Unless we ourselves had to put forth some effort, we could not be overcomers. But if we had power to do it all, we should not need God. So it requires our effort, our continuous, watchful, ever-vigilant effort, empowered by God's Spirit. Peter, later in his life, reminded the brethren, trying to stir them up to continue even after his death. He was telling the brethren what he saw. And let's turn to 2 Peter now. And chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, and we'll read verses 13 to 15. He said, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, that's his life now, his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So we saw where Christ had told Peter that when he received God's Spirit, that he was to strengthen the brethren. And now after Pentecost, when Peter was converted and filled with God's Spirit, here's what he said, which applies to all of us. Now let's go back to the same, to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. Go back to, right, 2 Peter, and we'll just pick it up in verse 2. And let's see what this is, the final, what Peter's really trying to help all of us, even in our time. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him," that's Christ, "who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to faith, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."